everybody. Welcome back to Ping. This is episode 221. That is 221 episodes of us bringing you the news that Microsofties are pinging each other about. We are back here again. It is 2 weeks, the same hosts.
Craziness.
Consistency.
Craziness. Well, you know, consistency. We're still got to work on the consistency of how often we publish.
We're working. There was a publishing issue.
We're working on that.
We will. Best part is, okay.
We need to ping each other.
We did say that earlier today. We actually had a quick meet and greet about our frequency of pings.
You got it.
But, you know, for most people, you know, there is these people who are regular viewers who watch every week. But as I look at the stats, every month, there are dozens of episodes that get views. So for the most people watching on demand, they never knew last week's episode was late. So it's beautiful.
Perfect.
You can watch, you know, all 221 episodes back to back to back to back.
Yeah, you back. Subscribe to the RSS, have it come down, use the Channel 9 application, be able to watch them if you wanted to.
Watch all of our previous episodes.
Is the app on Xbox yet? Xbox One?
No,
still not?
We're working on it.
Okay.
We just actually found a new bug.
Good.
Going through certification.
It's underneath his desk. You know, he's got
it on top of my desk.
On top of your desk.
But speaking of previous episodes, we did one last week. It was called Show 220. And we asked you, what's your dress code? Stemming from the article we talked about the White House.
Yep.
Not requiring their and software engineers to wear suits. We asked you what you wear. John P. Gonzo 3 says the dress code down in Florida, shorts and t-shirts are mandatory.
Yes, and he was the lucky gentleman who's been taking pictures of the Channel 9 guy just recently,
Orlando.
All over in Orlando. That's where
stuff. So, yeah.
Techno Guys came in and was telling us that basically it's he uses any kind of a geeky or iconic or ironic, t-shirt and pairs of jeans. I happen to be sporting that particular outfit today.
We said unless he's going to a business meeting, which case... It's a geeky t-shirt with a logo.
Yeah, I swear that's not me making the comment because I also go in and do the same thing when I have to do an EBC too. So who knows? And then my good old friend, Mr. Energized Tech, remembered wistfully the Commodore 64 SX luggable computer for executives.
Luggable. I love the luggable.
Luggable brand is just so perfect. I still swear I'm going to get that guy working and bring him into one of our next meetings.
So you're saying it does not even turn on. You've tried to crack it open. You have no idea why.
As my friend Joey Snow likes to say, I think the magic smoke has left, which means it doesn't work anymore.
Yes.
So, you know, spare parts, we'll see what happens. Worst case, I'll probably throw a mini ITX board inside of it and run a PC emulator, or run a 64 emulator on a PC.
Just don't tell me that's cheating.
You never know. We'll see how it goes.
Dress code in Melbourne, shorts, t-shirt, and thongs.
Whoa.
What?
Thongs?
Yes. I believe in other countries, those are what we refer to as sandals.
Oh. Okay. Good. Thank you for the clarification. Then it's just shorts and t-shirts and runners as well. I know what runners are.
See, you know, runners, I would have never liked runners. We call them sneakers quite a
sneakers.
Bit. Or tennis shoes,
yes.
I heard quite a bit in the Midwest.
Tennis shoes are too dressy for me.
So you'd just be in your thongs, is what you're saying.
Actually, I use, these are Redbacks. They're Australian
you
boots.
You branded everything.
They're Australian boots. They're awesome. Australian boots. It's my current staple right now.
finally, Pure Cove in Indianapolis, shorts, t-shirt, running shoes, t-shirts with superhero icons or funny sayings encouraged because it distracts your opponents from some of the foosball games during the day. And I know that my manager, Duncan, he has been seen with the Green Lantern shirt a few times.
So oh, yeah.
He would definitely approve of that.
Absolutely.
Well.
And I like to see that Develop KC also agrees with me with the nomenclature of different footwear in different areas of the world.
Yeah, all sorts of things. Braces in the UK are suspenders.
Or jumpers.
Or jumpers.
They love jumpers. Yeah.
Well,
jumpers are the sweaters or pullovers.
Are sweaters, right.
Yeah,
and
for the UK.
Braces and thongs. Well, we get a little bit of our cultural outreach here in Ping this week. So that was the
multinational.
But it's good to see that there's a consensus.
Mm-hmm.
The t-shirt and some kind of something below the belt is pretty much the uniform that we would go with.
You know what? We still have the rest of the show to do, so why don't we get started?
We have talked about Forza Horizon 2 for quite some time, and it is just around the corner.
But so you seem to be an enthusiast.
I am. I am.
A fan.
I will once again say that the Forza series is a car series, not necessarily a racing series. You can go in and dress up your cars in the livery. You can tune cars, and you can hire, actually, a driver to do your car. So you can just do tuning and... Yeah,
wow.
I mean, it's a virtual one, but you can do all this stuff just on the other side. Forza Horizon is an open world game. It's based around a car festival, so you have to work your way up the ranks. The article today is announcing the full demo will be available September 16th, and so just a couple weeks, and then just 2 weeks after the game will launch on September 30th. They also, in the announcement, talk about the achievements that will be in the game. A lot of them, if you played the original one.
Holy cow.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to do. It's an open world game.
It's insane.
And there are some of the original ones. Like I said, you have to work your way up. In this game, what you do is after you've finished a number of races, you get a different color wristband. So you'll see there's a wristband achievement for each wristband. There's one for capturing photos of 100 different cars. That's going to be tedious.
Super Meat Boy, grab a livery, grab a tuning setup, buy a car, enter a showdown at any car meet. 10 points.
So a livery is going to be the design for a car, a tuning for the car, and Super Meat Boy, I'm assuming that's an homage to Super Meat, M-E-A-T Boy, which if you haven't played that game, if you like being internally frustrated, that's the game. Have you played the game?
I have not.
It's in it itself is an homage to old like Mega Man, where like you just die every 30 seconds.
Oh, nice.
Before you're trying to get through a level, and then you can go into a dark mode where the level's like 10 times harder. Like every wall has spikes on it, so you can't touch any of the walls as you go through.
Oh, great.
Platformer. But that's nice here and there.
We digress.
September 16th for the demo, September 30th for the full game on Xbox One. It is Forza Horizon 2. Back last fall, Valve announced the Steam Machine Initiative, which is a set of specs, if you will, and partnerships with certain hardware companies to develop consoles that are kind of a hybrid between computers and consoles and just hook up to your TV.
And ultimately, they're designed to get onto the Steam network, download Steam games, and play Steam games.
Right. Moving the Steam kind of environment onto your TV.
Right.
Well, Alienware has just started revealing information about its Steam machine, the Alienware Alpha. So Alienware being the kind of high-end gaming arm of Dell, have created this machine, and it's different in a number of ways. So Steam has its own OS, which is essentially kind of just a superset of what Steam is now. What they've done is actually created a different barebone OS that lets you select either desktop mode or Steam mode. What that allows you to do is boot into desktop mode with the keyboard and mouse, and then you can use it as a desktop computer just running Windows 8.1.
Because it has a cooked up NVIDIA GTX video card, and it's running an Intel i3.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, it's a full desktop you can use like that. Or you can put it into its own Steam version where you can go and play Steam games. So, there's a couple things about that. You don't need a special controller. You can actually use an Xbox 360 controller. It comes with a dongle to put in. We've had these for a while. I actually use it on my my Windows machine at home. I have a dongle for 360 controllers for some games. And then you'll go through and it does, in the review, talk about, it is a system of a couple workarounds, some things that are just necessary, because you're bringing computer games onto a console interface.
Right,
so
right.
Games that pop up, like the Uplay interface.
I mean, there's delays with the Steam OS, and there's delays with Steam controllers and stuff like that, so it's just the way that they're able to bring it to market.
So a couple things like that. It's an interesting concept. It's a hybrid. It's kind of a stepping stone.
I believe they said, was there a price on here? I want to say I saw $550.
No, the asking price is
$550. Yes, the Alpha is $550. So
$50 more than
like a console. It's slightly more expensive than a console, but it does give you that dual boot mode.
Mm-hmm.
You can imagine if you don't have a desktop at home. If you kind of all you have is a tablet and a phone or something like that, and you want a gaming console, this gives you kind of a two for one.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a very long-lived item. It's kind of a new kind of field, so you may have some pain points in there, but it's an interesting concept. I like the idea.
They're also saying that obviously when SteamOS has been certified and done, it will be able to be upgraded to
right.
it because it runs on an Intel platform. So you will be able to upgrade both to the controller and to the OS when it becomes available. So best of both worlds. Kind of neat. Interesting approach, man.
just in time for summer to end, is a new product that just popped up in Kickstarter, has set records on Kickstarter, I believe. Is this now the most funded?
This is now the most funded project that unseated the Pebble Watch with level of popularity.
And we, it is 50, not even done as we're recording.
At the time of this recorded right now, there's 53,897 backers, totaling just under $11.5 million.
It is the coolest cooler. That is the brand name. It is the reinvention of the cooler for modern day. Has some things that I thought made sense and very interesting for modern day. Adding USB charging, so you can plug in your phone right there. Adding a Bluetooth speaker that you can add, you can pair your phone to, and then making it all waterproof.
But in that battery, there's some more stuff in there.
There's a blender. In the cooler. The top has like the part you put the blender on. You put the blender like deal on top.
It's got an 18 volt battery powered rechargeable blender.
Yeah. It's got USB charging. It's got the speaker that comes out.
It's got interior LED lighting so you can find items in the dark. There are built-in tie-downs so you can tie stuff on top because it is one, obviously it has wheels. I mean, let's not get crazy here.
Yeah.
So you can tie down stuff and wheel it over.
A chopping board, place to store that sharp knife to be able to cut those limes.
A ceramic knife, so that way you don't get rust or anything out there. And the plates, you put them upside down, reusable plates, there's a portion of them, they use as a reversible chopping board.
A bottle opener with a bottle cap catcher built in.
Yeah, the bottle opener was something I was like, okay, yeah, that's something
but it
that
catches
was on
them. It catches
them. I mean, that's the finesse part.
I know, it's telling you. It's really, really freaking cool stuff.
They've got all sorts of accessories, like t-shirts and red cups with the coolest logo on it, and things you can get. Unfortunately, by the time of this airing, the Kickstarter will be over. Maybe we should tweet about it today, just to know people, let people know. The people who aren't some of the 53,901 people who have already backed it.
It's insane, man. Absolutely insane.
But get it now, and let's... We should have a ping picnic. I like alliterative terms.
It's a long weekend coming up. Why not?
It's true.
This is something we've seen over the last week or so. I saw this pop up over the weekend. It's not too long ago that came up about the concept of misleading apps in the Windows Store and how we're going to be addressing them. And there was no response for the longest time. And then there's been a response that was actually posted on August 27th, written on a blog by Todd Bricks. And it seems like it's been very well received.
So far.
So far, so good.
I think it's a problem in any open app ecosystem. Mm-hmm. People are going to try to game the system. There's a lot of money to be had.
Right.
People are going to produce not-so-quality stuff. We've tried to nail down three specific pain points that we've heard from our customers, and those being naming. So you have to clearly and accurately reflect the functionality of the app. You can't go making some app that says it does A and it doesn't do anything it does B.
Right.
Categories, make sure your categories according to the app function and purpose. Mm-hmm. So you're not just trying to put it in the most popular category just to get more recognition, or the least popular one to try to jump everyone else. And then icons. You can't just copy someone else's icon or use infringing material or things like that.
It makes a lot of sense.
Very straightforward things, very on... controversial topics. Well, there were a lot of updates that were pushed out to apps because of these, and so far we've seen great reception from a lot of our app developers. There were some that were just kind of left around infringing on these rules, and so action was taken on a little bit more than 1,500 apps as part of the process so far, might I add. Mm-hmm. So this is an ongoing thing, not just a one-time like ban wave like you have in video games. Like, this is an ongoing process that we're trying to make sure we have better quality amongst the App Store.
And we've actually even mentioned that of the 1,500 apps that have been found so far, we're going to be offering refunds for those of you that actually went ahead and purchased them.
Since for anything that was misleading or incorrect or just plain, you know, broken, please, you can ask the store, Windows Support, for refunds for those apps. And if you find anything that you does not belong to the store, you feel is infringing on these rules, please contact reportapp@microsoft.com, or in the store there's a report directly to Microsoft link. So you can go ahead and help us out with some of this as well.
Very cool stuff. I'm glad to hear that we're taking steps to address these issues.
Microsoft has shown previously how modern games can use the power of the cloud to enhance gameplay, Our canonical example of that was Titanfall.
Yeah.
I think they showed a lot of the particles, explosions, like destructible terrain and things on the map can all be done on a server level, computed, and then just send the results down to all the clients.
And likewise, also doing scale on the cloud as well, for being able to have more instances in different data
dedicated
centers
servers
than
are
close to the individual users
that.
For a good game experience.
Right, yeah, and results in being able to have tons of bots and things in this game, mm-hmm. where you don't have one of the players being the host and bogging down their machine.
Yeah, their machine gets bogged down, plus they also get an advantage because they don't have to wait for it.
They don't have to wait for it, they don't get the latency.
Right.
Latency is a big issue anytime you're dealing with anything with the network. Well, a new paper presented by Microsoft Research on a technology called DeLorean.
I love that. I just love it.
Obviously, after the namesake time machine from Back to the Future, talks about traveling in time, if you will.
I think they technically call it
a speculative execution engine. Yeah, so the idea is, given what you're doing in a game, you can't buffer like video because actions haven't happened yet. That's
right.
How you solve low latency on video. Mm-hmm. You just buffer until you have enough room to cover your latency and you're good. Well, in gaming, like I said, you don't know what's going to happen until you've hit the button or performed your action or gotten the data from the other side. So what this does is in a server, speculates what it thinks is most probably going to happen, mm-hmm. sends those video frames down to the client ahead of time, and then the client will determine which one is the most accurate and display those.
I'm lost already.
It's so Microsoft Research.
Just go ahead. I know. It's insane.
It's going to the future.
Yes.
Seeing all the possible multiverses.
And then the revisionist.
Collapsing them.
And then the revisionist future of the console chooses which is the one
that's
really,
history is written by those who win. So if you're the winner, you just get to go back and rewrite how the game went. You're
you
good.
Got it.
But it is a full published white paper to go read about this. It's been tested on Doom 3 and mm-hmm. Fable 3, both action games, Doom being a much twitchier game than Fable. And reports that users couldn't tell the difference between playing locally or playing over a 250 millisecond delay network stream.
And so the end result of this is that this is some new research that future game developers can now possibly use in development of their new stuff?
Yes.
Basically?
Yes. So it's all future-looking stuff. Very interesting as the world is going to be inherently more online and networked. I don't know about you, but we have a fair number of single-player games we play, but a lot of it is online or hosted on some kind of server.
Yep.
So, interesting tech coming from the way of Microsoft Research. Thanks so much for watching Ping this week, episode 221 in the can.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good week.
It was. We managed to make it and survived.
We have some more to talk about. You can follow the conversation at #PingShow on Twitter.
I had this sign. I actually have a sign, and I didn't bring it again.
Open up your eyes and saw it.
I could have seen the sign.
Remind Rick to bring the sign next
yes,
time.
Yes, in the comments, please.
At RicksterCDN.
Yes, at sign RicksterCDN if you want to see me again.
If you'd like to let me know to remind Rick to bring the sign, at Mark DeFalco.
You can send us a postcard to remember to bring a sign at The Ping Show, care of Channel 9, Building 20. I just remember that, Building 20. One Microsoft Way, Redmond, Washington, 98052.
Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/ThePingShow. Question for you this week. In the comments, we want to know, we showed a cool cooler. Quite possibly the coolest cooler.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I mean, by brand.
I don't know if you guys got in on the purchase or not, but...
You don't know because we're not in the future yet.
We're not in the future yet. We haven't used DeLorean to figure that out. No, they haven't sent the frame rates down. We want to know, what additions would you make
for
V1.1? And I have a suggestion.
Coolest cooler, update one.
V1.1. I would say it needs to have a pony cake attachment. So basically, a beer line in, and then a circular coil.
What's to say? Yeah.
And then a tap on the side for us homebrew guys that like to make beer.
That sounds fantastic, mm-hmm. actually. I don't have an idea yet. I mean, I'm sure there's something crazy you can do with remote controlling it to drive it around instead of me having to carry it.
A coolest cooler drone.
Now we're getting creepy.
Now we're talking.
Amazon, don't steal that from me.
You got it.
See you guys next week.
Come on, here we go.
It's very far away.
I'm trying to hit it very hard. Hard right in there.